Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our next segment on the Drew Marshall Show. We call it Where's the Faith, and that's where I am joined by a variety of religion reporters from an assortment of news outlets as we catch up on the happenings in the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh my.
Thank you. Emma Green, I want to get you on the phone right now and have a little conversation with you. Emma, do you know much Canadian music?
I know Celine Dion and Justin Bieber.
Okay, well,
music, that's right? Really all you need to know.
No, actually, both of those people are not Canadian. Justin Bieber is officially American now. And Celine Dion is from Quebec.
True. Well, that's a little bit of shade that you're tossing there.
Oh, no, that wasn't even shade.
Welcome to the show, Emma. How are things in your world?
Things are great. There is much religion news to go around, which is great for me and people in my line of work. So it's always good to be talking with you.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think is the biggest news in the world of religion that everyone's talking about today? Right today, right now.
Today, this very second. Yeah. You know, I answer that question differently for sort of local issues and international issues. I think one, you know, sort of big theme that we've seen a lot of news stories recently is conflicts between religious groups and LGBT advocacy groups. So trying to figure out how to fit LGBT people into religious communities. And this has encompassed everything from murders around the world to religious freedom laws being passed and pushed in the United States. Lots of conflicts, basically, between religious groups and trying to figure out how to deal with people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender.
Wow. So do you think this whole thing is really actually kind of coming to a head? Do you think now is the time in our day and age where I guess, people of faith are being forced? Because we used to just kind of go la, 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 but we're now being forced to really actually take a side on the LGBT issues?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of reasons why it's changed. I mean, obviously, there have been gay people around for a very, very long time,
sure,
and even public records of gay people, but the cultural acceptance and also the normalcy of being an out gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual person has really made it something that religious people who, like you said, can, you know, sort of previously just ignore it, they've had to confront it. In the United States, this has come with gay marriage being legalized. In countries like Bangladesh, this is, you know, sort of a wave and a push to get people to talk about it and write about LGBT issues in a way that hasn't necessarily been the standard before. So I think religious groups are having to confront this as a challenge that they actually have to take seriously. It's a present problem for the first time.
All right. Again, on the phone with Emma Green. Emma, what's going on as far as Passover?
Yeah, Passover for most Jews is coming to a close today. And the White House has had a tradition of holding a Seder since before Barack Obama was put into office. The first Seder that they held on the campaign trail was in the basement of this hotel, and it was basically a bunch of 22-year-old staffers trying to pull together a Seder, and suddenly, you know, Barack Obama, not then the president, walks in and starts, you know, celebrating the lack of oppression for the Jewish people with these 22-year-old staffers. That tradition is coming to an end. This will be Obama's last Passover in the White House. But there have been a lot of things over this year. For example, some Jews now think it's more acceptable to eat rice and beans in a way that they didn't before. So this has been a big year of Passover news.
I heard on NPR as I was driving in today, somebody was quoting John Boehner, and here's the quote. He basically was talking about Ted Cruz, and he described Ted Cruz as Lucifer in the flesh.
Wow. Yeah, John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House in the United States, clearly has decided that his post-politics career is going to be one where he just completely lets loose. In an interview at Stanford, he basically walloped Ted Cruz over and over again. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to curse on the air, but since I'm just quoting, he said, "I have Democrat friends and Republican friends. I get along with almost everyone, but I have never worked with a more miserable son of a..."
No, we get it. That is an amazing quote. I mean, yeah. Of course, these days it's all about games and, you know, what's the motivation behind that? But, man, what a gong. I mean, look, I guess a telltale sign of the fact that he actually is Lucifer in the flesh is who he chose for his running mate. So
Could be. But in case you're wondering, there are, in fact, ways of performing exorcisms just in case John Boehner is right, and Ted Cruz is, in fact, Lucifer in the flesh. There are some Catholic priests standing by to help out with that.
Nice, nice. Good for you guys. Way to have the priests in the background there, ready to go. Okay, what's going on at BYU, the big Mormon university?
Yeah, so in Utah, Brigham Young University is a big school for Mormons, and a story that was broken by the Salt Lake Tribune suggests that victims of sexual assault have been investigated by the university for violating the honor code after they reported incidents of sexual assault. Presumably these investigations are about whether the students were drinking alcohol or were, you know, exchanging with the opposite sex off campus. And obviously this is problematic for a number of reasons, one of them being that it discourages women from reporting sexual assault for fear that they're going to be expelled or suspended, which is what happened to several students.
Man, you know, it's funny, when things like this happen, I don't know, in the evangelical scene, people go, eh. When it happens with the Catholic priest does something wrong, you know, eh. But when it happens with the Mormons, is Mormons still have the squeaky clean Donnie and Marie image? I think it still shocks the world that the Mormons have bad stuff happen in their community. It turns out they're human after all. I didn't know Ooh. That. Emma, did you?
Well, I think it's always been clear that Mormons are human, but I think one of the most painful things about the story is that people who are Mormon obviously care about sexual assault. They don't want their young women to be victims of this. And I think the tension between wanting to enforce the honor code and wanting women to be safe and protected really is one that's full of pain for their community. So I think that's one of the reasons why this has been such a powerful and sad and destructive story. It's hurt a lot of people.
Okay, being a Canadian, I'm not 100% aware of everything that's gone on down there in Tennessee, but from what I understand, people are canceling concerts and they're not shopping at Target. Is that right?
Yeah, so there have been protests against Target, specifically because Target has put in a policy allowing any transgender person to use the bathroom of their choice, basically the bathroom that they feel corresponds with their gender. But a number of states in the South have been passing bills that has to do with bathrooms, making sure, for example, in North Carolina, that there's not a local ordinance mandating that transgender people can use the bathroom of their choice. They specified that, especially in public places, people have to use the bathroom that corresponds to their sex, biological sex, at birth. And this has caused a lot of controversy in different states. In Tennessee, there's been a different bill which has allowed mental health counselors to decide that if it violates their religious beliefs, they can choose not to treat LGBT patients, which is sort of controversial for a different reason.
Yeah, see, that one I'm really having a tough time wrapping my head around. So let me just see if I get this right again. Mental health counselors are now allowed to refuse to treat patients if doing so violates their sincerely held religious beliefs, if, you know, for example, if they're LGBT. So I'm a counselor. I want to help somebody. An LGBT person comes, is one of my clients or whatever, sits down. I find out in the course of counseling sessions that they are LGBT or whatever. And then I go, ooh, I love Jesus. You need to get out.
I think it's probably a little bit more delicate in how it goes down, but you essentially got it. And one of the reasons why this is so complicated is that in the mental health profession, referrals are a huge part of what professionals do. There are a lot of situations that one individual counselor may feel as though he or she is unprepared to deal with. But making it specifically demarcated around people's sexual orientation or gender identity, saying that I'm not comfortable talking to you about your gay relationship because I think that will send you straight to hell, that makes it more uncomfortable and has more animus involved in it. So this has been a very controversial law. And one that's part of a bigger trend around exemptions for mental health and medical professionals in treating LGBT people.
Emma Green, you are a very good communicator, which is why I like to have you on The Drew Marshall Show. She is a writer and editor at The Atlantic. This has been our WTF segment, which stands for Where's the Faith, before you get your knickers in or not. TheAtlantic.com is the website, TheAtlantic.com. Emma, thank you for bringing us up to speed on all of these issues and so much more covered by The Atlantic. Well done. I really actually do enjoy. I know I sound like an idiot, but I enjoy having you on the show. Thank you.
Well, I always enjoy chatting with you, and I hope to do so again soon.
Take care, Emma Green. Bye.
All right. Have a good day.
We're going to go out with a little track from Adam Cohen, Mr. Cohen's boy. This is one of the most romantic baby-making songs I have ever heard in my life. If you are there with your spouse and you're cuddling and you're just looking into each other's eyes and you just kind of... just have a listen. Makes you laugh the way you tilt your head for a photograph. What other guy knows you like that? And I can name the first guy you ever kissed. I can name the perfume on your wrist. What other guy knows you like?